I wish to draw your attention to a verse found in Philippians chapter 4. There the Apostle Paul wrote in the verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In this epistle we are brought into the province of Macedonia. While it possessed great natural resources of gold, silver, salt and timber, the Roman captors had plundered them. Being torn apart by civil war in the days of Caesar Augustus, her towns had been destroyed and her countryside laid desolate. Although she eventually began to prosper, this prosperity did not spread into the church. In his second epistle to the Corinthians, Paul speaks there of their deep poverty. The word literally means down to the depths poverty. Hitting rock bottom, they had absolutely nothing. Unlike our modern society, there was no welfare state. The Roman captors were hard and uncharitable. They had built no hospitals and they supported no orphanages. And beholding their poverty, Paul reminded them that his God was able to supply their need. In fact, speaking of his own experience, he said in the previous verse, "I have all and abound, I am full." In other words, he was saying, these are not mere empty words. I have proved them. The Lord has met my need. He has kept this promise in my life. And you see, the promises of God are not only immense, but they are immutable. They cannot fail. Indeed, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in the verse 20, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." The Greek word yea and the Hebrew word amen were used to mark certainty. Abraham doubted and Sarah laughed, but the promised son was born. The children of Israel rebelled and thought it not possible. But the Lord, keeping his promise, he not only brought them out of the land of Egypt, but he also brought them into the promised land. You see, while men may eat their words, God never eats his words. His promises are rich, and more than that, they are reliable. Commentators vary as to how many promises there are in the Word of God. Some tell us that there are 3,000. Dr. Herbert Locker tells us there are 7,487. But whatever their number, every one of them is absolutely certain. William Carey, who was the famous missionary, said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." And when we consider their number and their certainty, and we think of their richness, our future indeed is bright. And I say to you, child of God, do not be content to read the promises or memorize the promises, or even to put them up on your wall, but claim the promises of God. Every promise is absolutely certain. And so I want for a few minutes to draw your attention to this promise that the apostle gave to these Philippian believers. I want you to notice firstly the material supply. Paul here was speaking from experience. The Lord having supplied his need, he was now assuring them that he was also able to supply their need. And when we look back, we discover that his wants had been supplied. Expressing his gratitude, Paul said in verse 18, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We should remember that Paul at this time was a prisoner in the city of Rome. Chained night and day between two Praetorian sentinels, he was unable to practice his former trade. Not able to make tents, he had no form of income. And beholding his need, the Lord moving upon the hearts of these believers, they lifted an offering for him. Epaphroditus bringing it up to him, Paul now confesses that not only had they met his need, but much more. And through these Philippian believers, the Lord met his physical needs. He had provided money, food, clothing, and many other things. And you know, the Lord cares not only for our spiritual well-being, but also for our physical well-being. He provides for our bodies as well as our souls. The prophet Elijah, obeying the voice of God, we find him going down into the deep gorge of Cherah, the vegetation around him eventually dying and withering away. We read in 1 Kings chapter 17 in the verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank off the brook. Of course, the raven by nature was a bird of prey. Their first instinct is not to feed others, but it is to feed themselves. However, the Lord, overcoming their natural inclination, he caused them to carry bread and meat to the prophet. He met his physical needs. And the Lord not only commands his servants, but he cares for his servants. He provides for their daily need. You know, a little lady living on her own, her landlord was an atheist who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. One day as he walked by her window, he saw her on her knees in prayer. And as he listened, he heard her pray, "Lord, give me this day my daily bread." Immediately he thought he would play a prank upon her, and he went down to the grocery shop and he got a big bag of groceries. Using his key, he let himself into her apartment and he set the groceries out upon the table. Then he hid in the cupboard. After a while, the little old lady came into her apartment, and seeing the groceries sitting upon the table, she began to praise God. And just then he jumped out and he said, "You old fool, mine was not your God that provided that food, it was me." The old lady looked at him and she said, "You are wrong. He may have used the devil's errand boy, but it was God who sent them." And God is able to meet your need. Maybe you say, "I would love to serve the Lord, but how if I go to a foreign mission field? How can I pay my bills?" Or the spread of this pandemic, perhaps you're fearful for the future. But remember this, the God who saved you is the God who is able to supply your need. And if only you come before him and ask, he is able to give you your daily bread. My God is able. He's able to supply our physical needs. Not only had his wants been supplied, but you notice also here his weakness had been supplied. He said in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The phrase "strengtheneth me" here literally means to infuse strength. In the original tense, it denotes a continuous action. Facing the conflicts and challenges of life, the Lord continually infusing his strength. He was confident that he would be able not to do all things, but that he would be able to do all the things that he ought to do. And as such, and now telling them, "My God shall supply your need," he was telling them that the Lord would give them the strength that they needed to do the things that he wanted him to do. And as well as sending his servants, the Lord strengthens his servants. He gives to them the strength and the skills that they need. Indeed, speaking from experience, the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 40 and in the verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The word "renew" here is a beautiful word. It literally means to exchange. In other words, praying they would exchange their limited strength for his limitless strength. You remember Samson and how praying he receiving strength. He slew more in his death than he did in his life. And through prayer, the powerless become powerful. They can do all the things that God requires them to do. In the days of wicked Queen Mary, a believer was arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. And as he was being taken out to the place of his execution, he suddenly stopped and, lifting his voice, he cried out, "Oh, I cannot burn. I cannot burn." His enemies cheering, they thought that he was about to recant. But after a few moments of silent prayer, he then lifting up his voice, he cried out, "Now I can burn." And if only you wait upon the Lord, he will infuse his strength into you, enabling you to overcome every trial, enabling you to accomplish that task for him. And if only we come before him, he will endue us with power. He will give to us the strength that we require. Not only had his weaknesses been supplied, but I think we notice also here his wounds had been supplied. He said there in verse 14, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction," as well as sending him supplies. The Lord had sent him affliction. The particular word used here means to crush or to break. Being arrested, he had been chained and beaten. And despite the fact that they had sought to break him, he tells us in the opening chapter of this epistle that all of these things had fallen out for the furtherance or for the spread of the gospel. You know, at the end of the apostles' chains were two Praetorian sentinels. He had a captivated audience. He was able to witness to them night and day. And while God at times sends pain rather than pleasure, it is not for evil but for good. It is to further the gospel. Had Joseph not been sold into slavery, he would never have become prime minister or in the land of Egypt. Had Abraham not been commanded to offer up Isaac, his son, his only son, as a sacrifice upon Mount Moriah, he would never have seen Christ's day. And God not only supplies at times what seems to be problems, but solutions. He works them out for our and his good. It has been rightly said, the pressures of life are the hands of the potter. And if the hands of the potter digging into the clay might rips it apart and squeezes it, but eventually produces a beautiful vase or a beautiful ornament, so does the hands of God. Maybe things seem difficult and dark. Perhaps you're in the last place on earth that you want to be, but God is able to supply your need. He's able to take that illness, he's able to take that problem, and he's able to turn it for your spiritual and for your eternal God. What a God it is that we serve today. He is in control, and he is able to work all things, even for our good. But I think as we look at these verses, we notice here not only the material supplied, but surely we notice the measure supplied. Having received a gift from these Philippian believers, Paul tells us in verse 18 that he abounded, assuring them that the God who had supplied his need would do no less for them. Notice that there is a richness here, measuring the extent of God's generosity. Paul said in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The word supply here is elsewhere translated some 19 times as fill. It literally means to fill to the top. Emphasizing this, he added that he would supply their needs according to his riches in glory. And there's a vast difference between giving out of one's riches and giving according to one's riches. For example, a millionaire seeing a beggar and throwing him a few coins, he could be said to have given to him out of his riches, but he most certainly could not be said to have given according to his riches. To give according to our riches is to give in proportion to them. And as such, God being the possessor of all things, he was indicating here that God would not merely give to them, but he would give to them liberally. God does not give in driblets, but in deluges. He fills our cup until it flows over. Indeed, the multitude fainting, the Lord asking the disciples how much bread they had, they came back and they said, all that we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Being but a lad's lunch, these loaves and the fishes were exceedingly small. However, taking them and placing them into the hands of the Lord, we read in Mark chapter 6 and verse 42, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. He not only gave to them enough to meet their need, but when they had all finished eating, there were still 12 baskets left over. God's giving is not only perfect and perpetual, but it is plentiful. It never ends, nor can it ever be exhausted. Someone taking this verse, they said, my God, that's the bank. Shall supply is the check. All you need is the amount. But it's even better than that. James Janeway was a popular Puritan minister and writer in the 1600s. And speaking during his last illness, he said, my heart is as full as it can hold in this low estate. I can hold no more. And God is able and willing not only to fill your cup, but to fill it until it flows over. You see, he not only gives peace, but he gives peace that passeth all understanding. He not only gives joy, but he gives joy that grows and grows until it's climaxed in the joy of heaven. And here's a God that we serve. He is willing to supply, not meagerly, but liberally. What a God that we serve. There is a richness here. But I think also we notice in these words that there is a restriction here. Because he said in that verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You notice here that he did not promise to supply their wants, but rather their needs. And there is a vast difference. When I was a little boy and did something wrong, my mum would go into the cupboard and she would bring out the wooden spoon. And coming towards me to punish me, I didn't want it. But you know, the truth be told, I needed it. And as such, he was not promising here to give them what they wanted, but rather he was promising to give to them what they needed. God's giving is not only my perfect, but it is also sometimes not pleasant. He gives us what we need rather than what we want. Indeed, the apostle confessed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in the verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The fact that Paul prayed 3 times for the removal of this thorn is an indication that he did not want it. However, while he did not want it, he needed it. It stopped him being lifted up with pride. And God's giving is not only generous, but it is good. He gives to us what we need. I heard about a woman on her 40th birthday, and approaching her husband, she was in floods of tears. And coming up to him, she sobbed, honey, do you think I look 40? Do you? He said, no, I don't, but you used to. And sometimes we want flattery, but what we need is honesty. The Lord does not promise to give to you what you want, but he does promise to give to you what you need. Sometimes that may be riches. Sometimes that may be blessings. At other times it may be affliction. It may be pain. My, he doesn't promise to give us what we want. But we can always be sure that even if we're in the depths of affliction, it is what we need. And God has some purpose and some reason for it. I think there's also a regularity here. He said in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." In supplying his need, the Lord only caused them to send a gift once, but again and again and again. And you see, God's giving never ceases until our need ceases. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. He who has met your need in the past and who has met your need today is able to meet your need tomorrow. My, what a privilege we have. My, a God who has promised to supply our need. Notice lastly in these words about the man supplying. This promise wasn't given just to any individual or group of individuals. But you notice here that they were a providing people. He said there in verse 18, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." As we have seen, these believers had suffered deep poverty. Nevertheless, digging deep down into their pockets, they gave generously. And supplying the apostles' need, he now promised that the Lord would supply their need. And if our need is to be met, we need to meet the needs of others. It is as we give that we receive. The preacher said away back in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." The reference here is to the sowing of rice. What we sow is what we reap. In fact, the more we sow, the more we will reap. You say, "But I have little to give." Robert Murray M'Sheehan, that great Scottish preacher, said concerning the sower, "When he has but little, does he keep back from sowing that little? No. He sows all the more anxiously the little he has in order to make more." And if your need is to be met, then you need to seek to meet the needs of others. It is as we give that we will receive. They were not only a providing people, but notice they were a praying people. He said, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Rather than worrying about their needs, Paul urged them to bring them before the Lord. And pouring them out at his feet, he said the Lord then would supply their need. You see, when all things are stored in Christ, they are fetched out by prayer. He gives nothing without asking. Did he not teach his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? There needed to be an asking. There needed to be an engaging in prayer. Maybe you say today, "But I have been in difficult situations in life, but God has not come. God has not supplied my need. He has not given me the strength that I needed in that situation, or he has not supplied some other need." But let me ask you a question. Did you ask? Did you ask? It is as we pray that God gives. Also, they were a pure people. He said in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Rather than being taken up with that which was polluted, they were to be taken up with that which was pure. And seeking those things, he said, the Lord then would supply their need. You see, without purity of life and heart, will be without provision. Our needs will not be met. How often in life we're quick to remind God of his responsibilities, but often we're not so quick to remind ourselves of our responsibilities. We are to seek that which is pure. And God is able and God is willing to supply our need. But we need to pray. We need to ask. We need to be pure. We need to be holy in our lives. What a God we have. He is able and willing to meet our needs. And if you're not saved, could I assure you that the Lord is able to provide for your need? If only you recognize your sin and turn from your sin and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to provide you with a pardon. And more than that, with a cloak of perfect righteousness. And like the psalmist, you then will be able to say, I shall not want. He is able to meet your need. Notice here Paul said, my God. And that's the question that faces you today. Is he your God? Was there a time when you came to the cross as a sinner and you took him to be your Savior and your Redeemer? If not, I trust that today that you will seek him and that he will become your God and your friend.